This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for September the 1st through September the 8th, 2006.
Israeli army continues to attack Palestinian communities in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, killing 11, including a child. An open work strike enters its second week, supported by a general strike of unpaid Palestinian employees. While thousands of school students wait anxiously for their school year to begin, several Palestinian factions call a coalition government as a way out of the Hamas-led government. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
Let's begin our weekly report with this week's peaceful actions against the annexation wall in the West Bank village of Berlin. Around 150 of the residents of the village of Berlin, accompanied by 8 internationals and 6 Israelis, went to the construction site of the wall. The army, together with border police, was waiting for the protesters outside the village, far from the construction site of the wall. Troops attacked the protesters with tear gas canisters and sound grenades, and assaulted them with their batons and riot shields. Several suffered bruises in different parts of their bodies, mainly on their arms and back as a result of being beaten by batons. Some of them carried away by ambulance for medical treatment. Sean, an American protester, was shot at the demonstration this week.
Outside of the town, so when you come outside of the town, they were waiting for us there. They hit people, and after a while, they started shooting tear gas at the people in the back. A few people got injured by the batons, so one ambulance was here, and a few people had injuries on their hands, and especially on their legs.
The army is getting more brutal in facing the nonviolent demonstrations in Berlin, who has been carrying out nonviolent demonstration against the construction of the wall on their land for more than a year and a half on a weekly basis. In the past few months, the army used water cannons against the demonstrators and some kind of bullets that cause electrical shock, in addition to sponge bullets that burns the body where it hits. Also this week, the Israeli army issued military orders to confiscate hundreds of acres of land near the West Bank village of Al-Khadr in order to make way for the annexation wall. Meanwhile, the Israeli Ministry of Housing issued tenders to build 700 housing units in Ma'ali Adumim and Bitar Elit, two of the largest settlement blocks in the West Bank. It was the first order for settlement construction in the West Bank settlements since Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert took the office earlier this year. Olmert has repeatedly insisted Israel will keep all major West Bank settlement blocks, including Ma'ali Adumim, Bitar Elit, Gosh Atzion and Ariel. This plan was approved by the United States in April 2004, following a summit that joined the former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and the U.S. President George W. Bush in the White House, prior to the unilateral disengagement plan, which was implemented in September 2005.
The Israeli army continued to attack Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, killing 15 and injuring at least 51. The army also kidnapped 36 Palestinian civilians in the West Bank and 3 in the Gaza Strip.
This week, the Israeli army killed 10 residents in the Gaza Strip and injured 51, including 12 children. The death toll in Gaza since the beginning of Israel's military operation Summer Rains on June 28th has reached 226, including 47 children and 12 women. In addition, 726 have been injured, mostly civilians, and including women, children, paramedics, and journalists. In the most recent attacks, the Israeli army invaded the town of Khuza'a, east of Khan Yunis. The army advanced 1.5 kilometers into the town and killed 7 residents. 4 were resistance fighters with Izzeddin al-Qassam, Hamas armed wing. A 16-year-old boy was also shot during the Israel's blanket fire on the residents' houses. And the father and his son were killed when an Israeli undercover unit invaded Al-Amal neighborhood in another Gaza city of Beit Hanun. The army also destroyed 9 homes in this invasion.
In the West Bank city of Jenin, an Israeli undercover unit killed a resistance fighter who was a member of Islamic Jihad's armed wing, Al-Quds Brigade. On Thursday evening, 4 Palestinians were killed and at least 15 were injured by military fire during clashes erupting between the resistance and Israeli soldiers who invaded the town. 3 were killed immediately, while the 4th sustained serious wounds and was taken by the soldiers and was pronounced dead later.
Palestinian civil servants continued to strike this week, demanding their overdue salaries and an end to the aid blockade imposed by Israel, the European Union and the United States. Some 20 to 30,000 people demonstrated in the Gaza Strip as part of a one-day general strike in solidarity with the civil servants. It was the largest turnout for a demonstration since the beginning of the aid freeze. People also demonstrated in the West Bank city of Ramallah. Jamil Shahada, head of the teachers' union in Ramallah, said the crisis is caused by the international blockade.
We say to the government and to the president and the Arab and international communities that everyone should stand for their responsibilities and duties. We decided to go on an open strike to make it clear once and for all that there is a real problem facing the Palestinian people, who is very close to lose their right to education, which is one of the basic human rights.
Apparently, both the government and the opposition agree that the financial crisis is a result of the sanctions imposed by the United States, the EU, and Israel. Mohammed Al-Hurani, a senior Fatah leader, said the government uses the sanctions as an excuse.
The motivation behind these strikes originally was the economic issue and the cut of salaries of the employees for more than 6 months. We understand that there are sanctions imposed by the United States and Israel against the government. However, what did the government do? Is it reasonable to use the sanctions as an excuse without lifting a finger to solve the problem? Is there another way to solve this problem despite of the sanctions? Many of these employees still remember that there were sanctions imposed in the time of the late President Yasser Arafat, yet they all received their salaries at that time.
Meanwhile, the Palestinian government did not slam the strike, yet they said it should be directed against those who impose the sanctions against the Palestinians. Palestinian Minister of Information, Yusuf Rizka, said that the strike should be directed against Israel and the United States.
I think the strike will end in the coming few days, and it will not achieve its goals because the goals are political, to either topple the government or force it to resign or be paralyzed. I think this is a wrong democratic practice. The strike should be directed against Israel, that is holding $480 million, which if released would be enough to cover 4 months of the overdue salaries. I also think that the strike should also be against the United States. The government managed to collect the needed funds and can provide more. However, the American veto and limitations on money transfer do not allow these funds to find its way to the government. I guess the strikers should stand in solidarity with the government.
At least 165,000 Palestinian civil servants did not receive their paychecks since March. Some of them were partially paid, yet the payments do not cover the salary of the 2 months. The tax revenue held by Israel, which is owed to the Palestinian Authority, amounts to $330 million, which, if received, would pay most of the employees.
Efforts to establish a national unity government continue amidst a severe financial crisis. Some Fatah officials expressed fears that Hamas would accept such a government only because it's unable to match the demands of the employees, where others see such a government as the only way out of the crisis for all. Earlier this week, Palestinian Minister of Communications and Information Technology, Dr. Jamal al-Khudari of Hamas, submitted his resignation to Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, yet he later rescinded it after being rejected by Haniyeh. President Abbas and Prime Minister Haniyeh agreed to start serious talks for forming a unity government. Al-Khudari said he submitted his resignation to pave the way for forming national unity government.
When the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh agreed 3 weeks ago to start serious talks about forming a national unity government, I decided to resign and leave the communication and information technology portfolio in the hands of the Prime Minister to pave the way for forming a national unity government. However, I found out that some people misinterpreted my resignation and some related it to the ongoing workers' strike, which is in fact untrue.
Although talks about a possible prisoner swap deal between the Palestinians and the Israeli government were denied by Palestinians and Israelis alike, Egyptian officials did not hide the fact that negotiations are ongoing. With an Egyptian mediation, Palestinians demand the release of 800 Palestinians, most of them are women and children, in exchange for the release of the captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit.
The Israeli government announced it would lift its air and naval blockade of Lebanon 2 weeks after the 15,000 UN troops have arrived in the country as called by the UN Resolution 1701. A Lebanese airline flight landed in Beirut International Airport, followed by a Kuwaiti one declaring an end to the blockade. The air blockade is lifted 23 days after the UN resolution was issued. Israeli official sources said the naval blockade will be lifted on Sunday. International troops come from the European Union, Qatar, Indonesia, Malaysia and Turkey. Qatar is the only Arab country to send troops to Lebanon. Officials said Qatar will send some 300 troops to join the UN force. In Turkey, protesters took to the street to protest the decision to send Turkish troops to Lebanon.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out the International Middle East Media Center website, www.immc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this report is brought to you by Dina Awad,
James Brown,
and Ghassan Banoura.